This is an Audio Wool original.
This episode of Fright Day is brought to you by Gates of Hell Chipotle Hot Sauce by Fright Day. Bold chipotle flavor blended with habanero peppers for just the right burn. Kissed with garlic and passion fruit. Zero human blood, like none at all. Visit shop.frightday.com before the first batch disappears.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/frightday.
Stop typing so loud, please.
When are you ever going to accept the fact that I type at the volume I type? And it's just,
New year, new me. No dramatic intro this week. Feeling a bit laid back. First time doing one of these year-ending episodes without covering a film as well, which leaves us more time to talk about the best 13 films of 2022, what got close but didn't quite make it. We'll run through some major-ish announcements about the future of the show, and wrap things up, of course, with Kelly's creepy predictions. Kelly, happy new year.
Hello!
Good to see ya. It's been a while.
Has it?
I think so.
I remember you feeding me horrible, horrible snacks.
Bad snacks.
Fairly recently,
Cinema
actually.
Cinema Autopsy. You're in charge of snacks next time. They just
I sure as shit am.
Have to be novelty and fun. You gotta be thematic.
I'm gonna go with a theme. I think it's gonna have to be a Valentine's Day one.
All right, we'll pick a good classic film to do the next Cinema Autopsy for. And, we'll talk about it later in the show.
Okay.
Kelly, what a year.
What a year.
2022, the movies is back.
I mean, honestly.
Well, actually, I don't know how I feel about that statement. I went to movies in the theater at a regular clip.
Yeah, I went to more. I still don't think I'm at regular, but mostly that's just because I've turned into like a basement-dwelling gremlin.
Who just wants things on VOD.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have you had enough of streaming services?
No, I'm good.
You need more.
I'm fine with them, yeah.
You don't get the Fright Day bill every... We get our what's it called? The piece of paper?
A statement?
Statement.
Yeah.
I'm the one in charge of those.
You know what, though? I'm aware of all those things.
Yeah.
I was doing some personal financial auditing this week to try and see like what subscriptions. Holy fuck, I spend money on so much dumb shit.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
Well,
it's very scary.
Remember the time we had three active HBO Max or Go, I think, right? Subscriptions.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah,
though.
I spent a bit of time talking to HBO and they gave us our money back.
Oh, thanks, HBO.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
But we're absurd.
We are.
Thanks to the Fright Day Society, of course.
Yep.
The ones who keep this thing going. We're not wasting your money.
No.
I sat on the phone.
Yeah, you did.
With HBO.
And I bought Hulu just...
I made it right.
...from a me standpoint because there were so many movies I wanted to catch up on. And most of them were on fucking Hulu.
Yes.
Huge number on Hulu.
Interesting to say that because we took a couple weeks to just watch what we had.
Yep, we had to catch up.
Which was, I think, very important. I'm glad
we
did that.
Yeah.
Netflix. Where the fuck have you been this year?
Yep.
What happened? It was the place for streaming horror.
Yeah, I guess it was. It's so funny. It's been such a different year that that was far enough back in my memory that I actually had to think about it to verify that that was ever the truth. I mean, it clearly isn't the truth now.
Yeah.
But upon thinking about it, yeah, I think you're right.
Hulu did it this year.
Well, I think Shudder really did it this year.
It was the year... I don't know if you've been to a movie theater lately. We're going to be covering a film pretty soon earlier this year, Skinamarink.
Skinamarinky-dinky-dink.
Don't sing it.
Skinamarinky-doo.
This is the dangers of saying that in front of you.
Oh.
I was in a theater the other day.
In this house.
Trailer for Skinamarink brought to you by Shudder and IFC Midnight.
So fucking cool. Good
on
for you, Shudder.
On the big screen. Both of you. I don't usually see IFC Midnight ads at the AMC.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I was shocked.
In this house.
That's awesome.
Can't wait to watch the movie. A lot of buzz around that.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep wanting to say, but we'll talk about that later because that is kind of what this whole year-end wrap-up episode's about. It's very horror-focused. We don't get the opportunity to talk spooky flicks as much, considering we're a horror podcast. But technically, a lot here. We're going to say a bunch of names of films, and we're going to tell you our thoughts on it. On that note, we should probably get going.
Yeah, we probably... Oliver!
I need you to quit nesting. Let's get into the best films of 2022. I kind of struggled with this. Traditionally, and we've been doing this for, 7 years at this point?
Is this our seventh or eighth?
Seventh or eighth time doing best of list. Probably seventh, right? I don't think we did it our first year. Just counting, huh?
It's eighth.
Eighth year. I'm just saying.
If we didn't do it the first year, it's eighth. If we did it the first year, it's ninth.
About ready to walk the fuck out of here. Jesus.
Oh,
that's hard. Usually we do our almost made its honorable mentions at the top. Do you want to do that?
Sure, B. Okay. I trust your production instincts.
Almost made its honorable mentions. These films close but not quite on the list.
Close but no cigar.
Sure. Do you want to start?
Yeah, The Sadness.
That was up on yours pretty high.
It actually was. It was really close for me, which is strange because it is a genre that I typically don't get into. It was phenomenal and scary and
zombie. Not your genre.
And runners. You know, I'm such a bigger fan of running zombies.
These guys go fast.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Running zombies from this and from Busan. 28 Days Later
okay.
are my faves.
However, problematic director here, Rob Jabez.
Oh, yeah, he is problematic. I forgot we talked about that before, didn't we?
Bad taste in the mouth. Not just outwardly. He did some sketchy stuff on set.
Yeah.
Came out of his mouth, not ours. We weren't there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't deny the gore in this is really fun. I love horror that pushes boundaries, or else what is horror? You know, what is
true.
The genre?
If it isn't doing that, then what the hell is it doing?
So when someone steps up and does something like this, you know, it deserves a nod, and I appreciate you, Rob. Let's just fucking straighten up, okay?
Yeah, please. Is he doing anything?
I'm not sure. All right,
that's all right.
Look into it. He's like pop onto his Tumblr page where he draws all those fetish cartoons.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Resurrection. I talked a bit about this on the last episode of the Writer's Room podcast. Not very many people feel like I do about it. It is like a slow burn, gaslighty little descent into madness thing. Starring Rebecca Hall.
Oh.
A weird film.
Is it Tim Roth?
It is Tim Roth.
Yeah, I did really want to see this. I heard it was great.
I heard wonderful.
It's pretty whiz-bang end.
Yeah, and that is where people split.
Don't tell me. Don't spoil me.
Certainly won't.
All right.
Rebecca Hallick over here, though. Love
oh,
it.
Oh, she is great.
A wonderful
totally agree.
Film. And
totally
beautifully agree. Shot. And, you know, Tim, always amazing as well. So
yeah,
that's one I think deserves some attention. I'm not sure if you caught A Wounded Fawn.
Nope, I didn't.
I don't know if you saw it, if it would have made it on our list. Josh Rubin, unbelievable performance. I caught it over the weekend.
Do love him.
Best thing Travis Stevens has done.
Which is not saying much,
but
if you're me.
It could be enough. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and it's another example of Shudder stepping it up.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl was great. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty rich in plot. It still felt kind of rushed.
Yeah, I mean, X didn't even make my list.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it was close, but it wasn't on my 13, so.
Deadstream, I think the only found footage POV horror on the list.
Yeah, I really liked it. Clearly, Dashcam did not make my list.
It didn't, and we'll be talking about that later.
Fucker.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Just upset.
And they're just a couple movies that make me angry.
Joseph and Vanessa Winter. Cannot wait to see what these folks do.
So fun.
Jumping right in. They did VHS 99, which you might talk about later as well.
We might.
But they did some great work. Really unique Halloween feature film there. Smile, did you catch it?
No. But you did say that for a wide release, it was actually pretty impressive.
Pretty surprising, yeah.
And I heard that from multiple people too.
Yeah.
Not just you, so I'll actually believe it.
Taylor Hawkins died. I can't not say that one of the first things I watched this year was Studio 666 in the theaters. Not the best film. They're non-actors. I think it's a really fun idea. For Taylor alone, go check it out. A weird one that I think we both caught that was very unexpected, Adult Swim's Yule Log.
So fun. Completely off the fucking rails. You know what I loved about it, though? It managed to cram in every single fucking horror subgenre that you could. We had everything, and I loved that. It was super fun.
A little long. But
yeah, I do think it was long.
I think Casper Kelly did a pretty dang good job with this. He wrote the Cheddar Goblin segment on Mandy. Not segment, I guess commercial.
I do like Cheddar Goblin.
But also, classic. Been around a while. It's good that he finally got some credit here.
Yeah, agreed.
Remember Too Many Cooks?
In the Kitchen?
No, on Adult Swim.
Nope.
Same guy. Anything else that we left off of this list?
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty, but Menu?
Yeah, I watched this yesterday, and I definitely had it higher up on my list than you did.
It almost made my list. It was just, I was really dithering at the end there.
On my personal list, it was number 12.
Super fascinating movie. I told Byron before we started, I believe there is a new subgenre of horror.
Proletariat
porn.
Uh-huh.
Kill the Bougies.
Well, you know that.
Which I can get behind the cinematic expression of. It's kind of fun. White Lotus.
Director of Succession is behind this.
Which is exactly really the same sense thing.
Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy, unbelievable. Ensemble cast.
Nicholas Holt played maybe the most hateable male next to Scarf Man and Fresh. But
okay. Scarf Man and Fresh is pretty rough. Standout performance by Fiennes.
It's Voldemort.
You're saying Voldemort?
He played Voldemort.
I said I've never seen those features.
Harry Potter's?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, he was the Voldemort in the Harry Potter's.
Unbelievable. Anya Taylor-Joy doing some wonderful stuff as well. But didn't make it. Who cares, right?
So close.
Moving on. Scream 2022. Shocking.
Oh, hold on. One more. Yeah.
And Halloween Ends, which is bizarre to me.
Like, I actually had Halloween Ends on my list. I really liked it. I really liked Halloween Ends. I felt like it almost redeemed the trilogy.
You put it at number 12 on yours as well.
It was good. The other one that I almost put on, Byron, and you didn't see this, but I watched it yesterday, was Glorious.
The Glory Hole one with Jason
from True Blood.
Yeah.
And J.K. Simmons
voicing
a weird H.P. Lovecraftian god at a rest stop bathroom.
It's another Shudder film.
Really fun. Not quite on my list, but real close.
So I think personally, where did Scream sit on my list? In number 8.
Yeah, I felt bad when I didn't put it on. I was like, I hope I don't break Byron's heart.
That's fine. Do you have any reason behind your not thinking Scream other than the fact that Gail, Sid, and a third person all got stabbed in the same spot on their body at the end, and Gail is completely unnecessary as a character?
Yeah, I mean, those were parts of it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was actually better than I was expecting it to be. It was fun. It just, to be honest, there were a lot of really good horror movies this year.
Yeah.
It would, you know, if it probably would have been on my top 20. It just wasn't on my top 13.
I mean, we had a Jack Quaid. We had a Jenna Ortega who, can I just say, I've been Team Jenna for years.
Yeah, I know.
Blowing up.
Creature saw a preview for Wednesday.
Okay.
Has been having nightmares about the preview for some reason. She said, like, the trailer.
Okay.
I keep trying to tell her that I'm sure it's actually funny.
It's probably really fun. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen it personally.
I haven't either.
That was the end of your story?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think that's all of my, like, really close and honorable mentions. So, on that note,
shall we go?
Number 13, Fresh.
I feel really bad because I saw all but the last 15-ish minutes of this.
Yeah.
Byron was bugging me to watch it, and it was the last one that I was fitting in, and then I had, like, a business crisis come up that, like, cut me just short of finishing it.
A lot of folks were telling me to watch it. I think Felicia from the writer's room was bumping me hard about it.
Felicia's great.
Feature-length debut by Meme and Cave. This thing, it's been a while since I've seen a title card pop in at the 30-some minute mark.
That was amazing.
One hell of a film.
Truly amazing.
Sebastian Stan.
Yep.
I guess I like him quite a bit. He was Pam and Tommy, of course, but also
I didn't know he was in that.
Is that the Winter Soldier guy? The Winter
Soldier
gentleman?
He is. That's what I know him for, which
is Bucky Barnes.
I fucking hate Captain America. Unpopular opinion. I hate Captain America.
Okay.
And because of that, I always liked Bucky more.
Sure. Let's talk about Daisy Edgar Jones instead. Unbelievable performance. This thing is so fun. It's a unique twist on a cannibal film. It's a Hulu.
It is.
Produced by Adam McKay as well, who also produced The Menu.
Yeah, and all of those super great Big Short, et cetera.
Yeah, he's kind of the man behind dark funny at this point, whether it's
horror
or financial crime
or
politics.
Or climate change.
Sure.
Yeah,
wonderful stuff. This film caught me off guard. It really did. And it's one that I wouldn't have seen if I wouldn't have given myself a couple extra weeks to catch up. So,
yep.
Maybe it's the poster. It looks like shit, right?
I wouldn't say that.
It's not great.
I think it looks like the Suspiria designer took it.
Yep, exactly. Number 12, Prey.
Yep. So I hate to say it, Byron was right more this year. One of my resolutions is to be right more than Byron in 20. I'm just
joking.
Good
luck with that. We're doing resolutions too.
We
I don't know if I mentioned that.
We are. Yeah. But Byron was trying to get me to watch this. And I have to say, Sam loves the Predator movies. I just have never given a shit about them. They're just not my thing. I think that they're stupid Arnold shit.
It's fun, masculine fun.
Yeah, but like, I love Alien. Like, I'm very into
Alien's
that franchise.
Smarter, though.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why.
Yeah.
I just never really liked Predator, so I really didn't want to watch this. And then
Dan Trachtenberg, of course, the man behind 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Which also was fine, but didn't convince me, because that was a fine movie, but I didn't go bananas for it.
Quite a bit.
However, he has done a little bit with The Boys, which I really enjoyed watching in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And Byron really pushed hard. So Sam and I watched it on a date night, and holy shit, it was actually good. It was way better than like the normal Predator crap.
It's a little richer.
Interesting
story.
Characters, context. They actually cast
indigenous
actors, which was amazing. It had a storyline that was at least something personally I could get behind and become interested in and invested in a way that none of the other Predator movies have done for me.
Amber Midthunder can throw a hatchet.
Holy shit.
That was cool as hell.
It was great.
Intimidating. It took me a second to get to this. I mean, a film set in 1719. I wasn't sure if this was going to be the Predator film for me. I have to agree with you, Kelly. This was an absolute delight. I think it made it not on my list at all.
Yeah, well.
But it was very high up on yours.
Yep, you just forgot.
No, that's not true. I didn't forget.
I think you forgot it.
And I was pretty close to being on my list. But number 11, we covered it in episode 326, Men. Directed by Alex Garland.
This one was way higher on my list than yours.
I don't think it was on my list.
It wasn't on your list at all?
It was not on my list.
Yeah, so this was the other subgenre of horror that I loved this year.
Okay.
Fuck the patriarchy porn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had like a lot of these. In fact, which we'll talk about.
Spoiler?
Sorry.
Okay.
Was another one of these that dealt with patriarchal issues, women in a very nuanced, unique way.
Yeah, I agree.
And just the acting. Oh my God. I don't understand like how that wasn't memorable enough to make your list.
I mean, I remember Jesse Buckley's performance was incredible in this. And I agree with you completely. Alex Garland's, you know, sometimes directors and writers get caught up writing themselves.
Well, and listening to his interviews about, I mean, Alex Garland's just amazing. And Jesse Buckley was incredible. Also, Rory Kinnear.
You can't not talk about Rory Kinnear.
So terrifying.
This is like,
so terrifying.
Remember when Split came out, McAvoy was...
Wait,
well, okay. Now we got to go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought he was
Rory Kinnear versus James McAvoy.
And maybe it's just because he was playing all these archetypal characters. You would be hard pressed to find a woman in the world who hadn't encountered at least one of those characters in her life.
Yeah.
Which I think just made it phenomenally powerful.
That's what I'm saying. I think Alex writes a realistic perspective.
Listening to him talk about being on set, he takes input too. Like there were things that he shifted and things that people said, this isn't working. This isn't how this character would react, and pivots according to that. And I think that
his ego is a bit in check compared to a lot of directors.
Which is why, you know, he was able to write a movie like this.
Yeah.
I loved this is one of those that goes on my list of like at some certain point in my daughter's development we will watch this movie
yeah,
together.
Your daughter had nightmares watching the trailer for Wednesday. I think a man being born and reborn out of himself.
Okay, maybe we'll skip the end.
Yeah.
We have watched a lot of X-Files in 2022.
Cool. Speaking of X and speaking of films that aren't on your list.
Sorry.
Number 10.
It was fine.
What? It's fine.
It was fine. It was good.
Directed by Ty West. We covered in episode 312 really quickly because I had just gotten home from South by Southwest.
Yep.
Saw the premiere. Very lucky. One of 600 people.
Bitch.
The film is X.
If there had been more Kid Cudi, I probably would have...
You want to see more of Kid Cudi? I thought you saw all of Kid Cudi.
I mean more screen time, not like literal. God, I'm not... Come on.
Well, I thought this thing was delightful, but of course, do not eat Skittles during my conversation about Ty West X.
What do you think is going on with Ty West, though? Do you think he's fallen a little bit too far down the rabbit hole obsessing about this?
Yes.
Do you think that
that's why Pearl isn't on this list.
Do you think he's having an affair with Mia Goth and that Shia LaBeouf is going to kill him?
Can we not be a T channel for a second here?
I have nothing to base that on.
Mia Goth, unbelievable performance. And it does carry over into Pearl. I think she does well. But
she's an amazing actress.
This is my era. This film was made for me. You know, I know. I'm a Texas Chainsaw guy.
So weird.
Anyone that remakes Texas Chainsaw in a different way, I'm going to eat it up. House of a Thousand Corpses, X.
Okay, let me just be clear. If we put this head-to-head with House of a Thousand...
This for sure.
Like 10 to 1.
Uh-oh, did I just say that? This movie.
It was good. Mia Goth, just wasn't top 13.
Jenna Ortega, Brittany Snow, Owen Campbell. Owen was in my number one film of last year. My Heart Can't Beat It, unless you tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Is that last year? Mm-hmm. The perfect cast. And it's creepy. I'm afraid of old people. The soundtrack was great. Tyler Bates, Chelsea Wolfe. I love this film. I do... kind of wish that he would have stopped. I'm not excited about Maxine with a bunch of X's. I don't like the 80s. It's not my thing.
No, you don't.
So this is gonna be where I stop on my obsession.
Wait, you're not gonna watch it?
I'm gonna watch it.
I was gonna say, whoa,
obsession with this three-peat here.
Okay,
but
that's fine. It was good. It was good. It just
a film you liked more than I. It was close for me though. Number 9, Chloe Okuno's Watcher. We covered in 324 of this show.
Mm.
You're chewing. Okay, I'll just grab this bag.
That's fine. That's fair.
Just move the Skittles. Take your time. No worries.
Okay.
The return of Micah Monroe.
So Micah Monroe and Carl Glusman play this couple living in Romania. Carl did a really good job of starting the film as a solid partner. Like, he wasn't awful. He wasn't this immediate, like, okay, well, I'm going to hate this dude. But as he and his wife continue on in their time in Romania, she gets more and more isolated. And he becomes more and more neglectful of what is obviously a really... miserable situation for her. She's
there's
lonely.
A serial killer in her town.
And there's a serial killer that she's very scared of, and he thinks that she's just being ridiculous. And again, this really does a great job of capturing, I know the term has been overused so much, but I do still think that it is a huge issue in our society. Inadvertent gaslighting. It wasn't like malicious. He wasn't being an asshole on purpose, but it was just how things manifest in a lot of relationships where a vulnerable person can suddenly have their voice taken away from them, which, you know, multiplies the shitty feeling of being vulnerable already. So he didn't listen to her. Of course she was right. And our serial killer was played by a terrifyingly amazing actor, Bern Gorman. So perfect for this role. So, so perfect. It was really those three performances were the big performances in the movie, and they were all... really well done. Very like deep characters.
And that's what makes a film with such a thin plot work.
Yeah, it wasn't complex. It wasn't overly convoluted, but it was so well scripted and well acted. The tension was really strong. Mm-hmm. You find yourself at different points questioning the protagonist too and understanding maybe why her husband. And then, yeah, the way it's done allows you to connect with all of the different perspectives at some point.
And Chloe Okuno, rising star in her own right. She did some work on VHS 94, which arguably better than
99. I don't even think it's arguable. I think it's a given.
I think so. Yeah. But another one to watch. She's directing at least one episode of the new Let the Right One In TV series. And I don't know what else she's up to, but that's exciting.
It is exciting. And I think she'll probably be doing more because this, for a small movie, I think was...
Small movie got a lot of attention. It played South by Southwest.
I've seen it on tons of people's top lists.
Premiered at Sundance, IFC Midnight, and Shudder collaborated to put it out. It also went out with Focus Pictures internationally, which is pretty wild. So it's if you haven't seen it, if it's been in your queue for a while, pull the trigger. Like,
definitely.
With a name like Watcher, it's...
I mean, and honestly, I will say go ahead and watch the Netflix series The Watcher as well, because I thought that was really fun too.
Well, why not?
But this was great.
Number 8, late entry for you.
Late entry.
Glad you found the time.
I'm just going to say it again. Byron was right again.
Scott Derrickson's The Black Phone. And I don't usually like these kinds of movies, Kelly.
No, and honestly, I didn't want to watch it because part of it was the kid stuff, but part of it just looked like a dumb story that I've seen 100 times.
Yeah.
And then within the first 15 minutes, I saw that the way they were developing the young characters in this movie almost felt like Stranger Things level character development.
Slightly elevated.
Yep. A lot more thought out and fleshed out and invested than you would typically get in a movie like this, which I think changed it from the get-go. We've got a brother and sister that are living in this small town in the late 70s.
Denver suburbs. Yeah.
Yeah. North Denver suburbs, I believe.
The Grabber.
Yeah, The Grabber.
Love the name The Grabber.
Yep.
And I bet that rubbed you the wrong way away.
It did. But I mean, I knew what to expect going in. And
I warned you. I said it was a child in danger film, but you...
Oh, yeah, but only 5 kids got murdered. Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
But it wasn't so explicit.
Anyhow, I think they built the tension, but the tension was only half of it for me. This relationship between the brother and the sister and the really fraught, multifaceted relationship with their father.
That was really interesting and kind of... They let him off the hook.
I don't know that they let him off the hook because this was actually the last shot in the movie where it pans out and he's sitting at the ambulance with them.
Yeah.
The way that they reacted to him begging for their forgiveness.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh yeah, dad, we love you. It wasn't like a Steven Spielberg reaction.
Sure. It was a little bit more complicated.
It was very much like, it's not okay.
You've got some work to do.
Right. And I actually really appreciated that. I thought that it took the high road in a lot of places where it could have gone cheesy. I have to say, some of the stuff with the dead kids and apparitions.
Jeremy Davies, I just want to shout him out. He's one of my favorite character actors working right now.
Yeah, from Lost.
He was in Lost, but he was in tons of stuff.
Like he's got to have played Manson at least 12 times because he looks like Charles Manson.
He was in Helter Skelter.
Okay.
Yeah, he's played Manson, but he's one of my favorite character actors, so it was really, really great to see him.
He was very, very good, and he did a great job of this very complicated role, I thought. I liked the way that it played out. I thought that it was a good story. The kid actors were amazing.
Unbelievable. The paranormal stuff teetered for me of like going too far in that direction.
Yeah, with the visual, the ghosts and stuff. But
I think they did a good job with it, though.
Mason Thames playing Finney did a really, really great job.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that Madeline McGraw totally stole the show. She was incredible. Like, good enough that the next movie that she's in, I will probably watch just to watch her.
Ethan did a good job too.
Oh yeah, but
Lean
he always
into
does.
Being gross. He has a belly in this. He's got a spooky mask.
He doesn't really have much of a belly.
Well, the way he's sitting at the top of that stair, shirtless in that chair.
I personally thought his brother did a really good job.
Wait, what?
The coked out
investigative
brother.
Yes.
Anyhow, it was really well done, Byron. You were right.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And Sam really liked it, too.
And Scott, good work. Coming back from Doctor Strange, didn't abandon us here.
You know what's funny is I still haven't seen those, and people say that they're great, but I need to watch them.
I think that they're fine Marvel movies, but kind of like James Wan, they're returning to their roots.
They are.
And I respect that.
They are.
Go make that money and then come back and spend that budget on us. Number 7, Hellbender.
This was just such a cool family production. I mean, the story behind it is as fun as the movie itself.
We talked about it in episode 3.
And
1-3.
Super small budget, grassroots indie feeling movie.
It's the Addams Family, not the Double D version. John, Zelda, and Toby Poser. A family project, like you said. I think maybe the only witchy film that got entered in this year. And you know that's my thing.
It's a mother-daughter metal band, and they also happen to be witchy.
That was the the kind of corny stuff that I wish wasn't in there.
But oh, see, I loved it. I thought it was fun.
This is the low budget filmmaking that I want to see, and I don't see a lot of that. Contrasting from The Black Phone to this, it's interesting. The seat filling horror has kind of been doing it for me this year.
Well, it's been better. Yeah. I mean, it has been better. But I think that this and the next two entries on our list really capture what we started doing Fright Day for, sure. If that makes sense, yeah. Byron.
Well, what can you say about Hellbender? It's good. Check it out.
It is. Yeah.
It's fun, slightly surreal at points, and they do a lot with the budget that they had. Another Shudder gem.
Absolutely.
Art is beautiful as well.
Beautiful art.
Number six, we covered it in episode 322, Chris LaMartina's WNUF sequel, The Out There Halloween Mega Tape. And not just because we're the first thing heard in the film.
Which is amazing. Gotta get that out of the way. That was amazing.
Unbelievable. But yeah, like you said, Kelly, this was our full circle moment. Again, not just because we're in it, but because of all the elements that went into.
Yeah.
So many familiar faces, huge nods towards the horror community, and a project that has been so grassroots, a long time coming, and, you know, a sequel to a film that deserves all the credit in the world.
Oh, so much fun. I never get to feel part of the cool kids club. But the fact that we got to see this movie this year, and we were a group of small, because you had to order the physical media to see this movie. How fucking cool is that?
You can get it on Blu-ray right now. It's only available on VHS and DVD. And then once those sell out, I believe he's going to go to Blu-ray. I don't know what the release plan for this is.
Yeah, but that's the most beautiful part of it, is it's such a passion project that that isn't even the driving factor. Listening to him talk about this movie is just so inspiring and so cool. And watching it was a blast.
Oh no, I'm gonna cry.
It was so good.
We got together around Halloween and watched it. Was it our Halloween episode this year?
It was.
Melissa LaMartina really stepped up to the plate in
this. Oh yeah. Yes, she did. She really did.
I don't want to talk too much about it.
This is like the third family flick on our list. Oh, I guess Deadstream didn't make it on our list.
No.
But Deadstream, Hellbender, and this were all like family productions.
And you love to see that.
I love it.
Hopefully you get to see this at some point this year.
Yes, yeah, please actually, keep your eyes peeled. Order it.
Writer
get the physical media.
Jacob wants to check it out from us.
Oh, does he?
So I'll send it to
That's
him.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, he probably deserves
Maybe
it.
Burn make a him copy. Write. Isn't that? That's kind of.
Make him write a letter.
Okay.
Disavowing the scary of 61st in order to get.
It's gonna be a tough ask. Big ask. Number five, Jane Schoen Burns. We're all going to the World's Fair.
This is another one that I felt was very kind of at our roots. This is the type of movie that totally. We love to cover. It was fun because looking through other people's top lists of the year, I kind of made snarky internal judgments based on whether they included this movie or not. Because I feel like if you watched this movie
What's
and you're
assessment?
A horror fan.
Did some people
saw it. But I think if it wasn't on your top horror list of the year, you probably didn't see it.
We covered it in episode 316. If you missed that, go back.
So interesting and very simple. Like, there's nothing super flashy about it. There's nothing
other than the flashing.
You know what I mean? But
I know.
Like, it is a very simple story pulled together by, again, I think really great writing and directing and an incredible performance.
Anna Cobb.
Anna Cobb was amazing. By the way, have you seen what else she's doing?
No. What's Anna Cobb?
I don't know, but we need to find out because this is another one. We just need to put like a 4-alarm alert for anything that she's in.
Well, of course she was in Bones and All.
Barely recognizable as one of our lead couple's little sisters.
Might be talking more about that later. But Anna Cobb's performance in this as Casey, like, just so intimately emoting what it feels like to be
an awkward teenager.
Yeah.
And I was such a fucking awkward. Now, I did not have like a shitty situation with my parents, luckily, but I was such an awkward teenager. And maybe that's why this spoke to me. I was like, oh my God, yes.
Well, the isolation at the beginning of the internet age was just like so unique. And I think that they fucking nailed
they
it
totally
in this
did.
Film.
The scene where she's dancing.
Uh-huh.
She's awful and it's awkward and it's, I can't remember the last time I felt that strongly with something that wasn't horrific or like meant to totally be gory and shock you. That hit home for me.
When that switch flipped in that moment too, like that is the same kind of like remember the argument in the car during the Mike Flanagan Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah.
It like gave me that same kind of like, not jump scare feeling, but like a human horrific moment that is expressed like just like that. Like, God damn,
it was
this
a great movie.
The Alex G soundtrack. I think that was one of my number one albums of the year was the soundtrack to this.
Very good soundtrack.
And Utopia as the distributor, and they're doing such cool shit this year. They officially picked up Clay Tatum's film The Civil Dead, which I did an interview with him after that premiered at Slamdance almost a year ago. So,
unfortunately, they did release the Scary 61st.
Yeah, they did do that. But they do really great work, and I'm excited to see what they do. They're like my new... Remember, I was an Orchard guy for a long time?
Yeah.
They're my new distributor to watch. I love these guys.
Okay.
Of course, keep your eyes on Jane Schoenburn, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
When we could say something about Michael J. Rogers being one of the most complex
characters
that we've watched this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a sequel to this.
I don't know what they could do, but I know that this style of film isn't going to end here. I think Jane's doing some cool stuff coming up. Number four, familiar name, Jordan Peele, a film that we covered in 323. We watched it in stadium seating, Kelly.
Yes, we did. The last weekend that a theater was open.
So brutal.
Yeah, like this old school theater on the Oregon coast that was closing. Nope. Very controversial. A lot of people didn't like it nearly as well as Jordan Peele's other movies. I did.
Neo-Western sci-fi horror.
I liked the messaging. I fucking love Aliens. I don't know. Everyone knows
it's aliens. Okay. We don't need to whisper.
Yeah, I love Aliens, and I like the way that they did this. In some ways, it reminded me a little bit of Arrival.
Okay.
In the way it was kind of a reimagining of what an alien life form could be or look like, or how it could interact with us, or what its purpose would be. It's just a sharp contrast to me bitching about what Predator is as an alien. This was really phenomenal. I thought it was really interesting. I loved the cast. The comedy in it was really entertaining.
It's a wild ensemble, and it's a really interesting... It's an interesting story. Beautiful wraparound. Those are some conventions that Jordan hasn't really gotten to play with so much.
This is one of those that I've thought about a lot over the course of the year, because... I guess it's probably been, 6 months since we saw it. I really have thought, like, okay, did I just buy into this because he did it? Was it really not as good as I'm trying to make it up to be? But no, I really did like it as much as I thought I did. It wasn't everyone's movie, but it certainly didn't change what I consider to be almost an unprecedented string of directorial work. I have no idea what he's making next. I don't know if it's even been announced, but I don't know. Very hopeful that it will be along the same lines of what he's done, because I think we're lucky to get his movies.
Along the same lines of also being different?
Well, being a unique exploration of some subgenre of horror.
I did fall asleep during this movie. I did watch it again, and I like it. I don't think where to even end on my list here. It was number six. And if I was reevaluating, I might put X ahead of this. But I do like it. And I agree with you. I think Jordan's got a very unique string of films under his belt at this point. And I can't wait to see what he does next.
Byron, what the hell's our IMDb Pro account?
I'll say that publicly right now.
You could go ahead and say that.
We can do it later.
Okay.
This is a really unique situation.
Has this ever happened?
No. But
more unprecedented.
Everyone's familiar with Triple G, Guy Fieri's Grocery Games. For the first time ever, we've got ourselves a three-way tie. It's a triple B situation, Kelly. Five Bs, if you count one word said three times. A little tease there. I guess let's jump right in. That film, of course, tied for number one. I'm sorry, everybody. This could infuriate you to have this sort of widely regarded number one shared spot. A film that we covered in episode 325, Helena Rezhin's, probably not saying that right, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
This movie was so joyful.
Yes.
It also falls into the proletariat porn.
The theme of the year, it seems.
It is. It really is. And oh my God, the joy that this movie brought me. First of all, the cast was phenomenal.
Ooh, beautiful. Ensemble.
Amazing.
Lee Pace.
Poor Lee Pace in that movie. I really did feel bad for him.
Chase Sue Wonders. Maria Bakalova. Amanda Steinberg. Pete Davidson's there too.
Yep.
I caught this at South by Southwest, immediately called that this would be the film of the summer that all of the Gen Z and the millennials could come together on. I don't think that that is true. It slipped by a little bit.
Yeah, I kept telling people to watch it. I made so many people watch this movie. We went and stayed with some friends at some point in October before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. friends that have kids. I made all of them sit down, like the one night that we had where all the kids went to sleep and us parents could actually hang out. I made everyone sit and watch this because I'm
how they feel about
it. I'm like, you guys, this is so good. You have to watch this.
I'm shocked though by the, I mean, it's not like people think it's a bad movie.
They didn't love it as much as I did, but I think they liked it.
I absolutely love this thing.
I think I've seen it 4 times now. I cannot get enough of this movie. Oh my God. It is like horror comedy at its absolute best.
It's a new ensemble slasher style thing of its own, but like it nods to the past.
Amazing.
And the way that they speak.
Well, it's Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, which is really fun.
Sure.
Right? And then it's like got some similar vibes to Scream.
It's self-critical. It's even, biting.
Even poked fun at people like me, you know? It was just great.
The way it shot, the location, the acting, like it's just, it's a pitch perfect.
What's next for this director?
I think she's probably going back to Normsville for
No.
It's fine. She can just give us that one. I'm okay with it.
Not me.
You want more?
Of course I do.
Oh, no. She's very busy doing stage productions.
Okay, but that's cool. This is cooler.
From the Netherlands.
This is cooler.
This was a wild.
I would appreciate more.
Okay, well. I'm sure our audience would love the next B, sharing a spot with number one, Zach Cregger's Barbarian, which we covered in episode 328.
Oh, this movie was so good. This movie was almost two different movies, and both of them were so good.
Zach Cregger, of course, part of the Whitest Kids You Know, joining that world of comedians turned horror masters, Jordan Peele, Josh Rubin, and now Zach Cregger. They just get it. They understand timing and tension and release, and Justin Long
Justin Long. Oh my gosh.
I love properly using a law.
I love that dude.
Georgina Campbell. I mean, honestly, this whole like timeshare horror thing that is trickling in. Like Superhost, The Rental, even like the double booking of a film that I just saw starring Winona Ryder. What was that?
Oh, really?
Gone in the Night.
It was
fine. It wasn't great.
Really?
But it is interesting that we're discovering this new uncomfortableness in sharing spaces with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It really opens new doors, mm-hmm. Kelly.
It just gets Sam further and further away from...
He'll never do it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was really an interesting film, and I agree with you. Like, the way that they handle tone and subject matter is really masterful. And of course, Zach, he's got like the whole world in front of him at this point. He can kind of blank check the next
whatever
project
he wants to do. So, yeah.
Can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah. Oh, great movie. If you're going to see one horror movie this year, I think it probably should be Barbarian.
I think you owe it to your normie friends to show them something like this.
Yeah, you really do.
I mean, this was a theatrical horror release, and it was another reason that you wanted to skip it.
Yep, and I'm glad you didn't let me.
Wow, I really am doing a great job.
Yeah, Byron, honestly, do you know how many times you're going to have to like do a tally when you edit this?
Huh.
How many times I've said, and Byron was right.
1, 2, 3, I could count them.
A lot of them.
I'm not gonna. Our last number one of the night. Luca Guadagnino's Bones and All. This one might get us in the most trouble.
I still don't understand that.
Well, because it's a beautiful love story. And like, if you listen back...
Yeah, but
back,
it's fucking cannibals. You can't deny that it's horror. There's no way around it.
Of course. But like, go back to our episode review of that. Like, we pretty much just talk about like the sweet moments between two people and then the rules of this world. Like,
right, but that's okay because guess what? We talk about the horrific elements of horror movies all the time. It's rare that we get something that's so unique as an element in a horror movie. And I think it would be silly not to pay tribute to it.
Well, where do you place it on your personal list?
It was my 3, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And yeah, on my
list, must have been your number 1.
I had it up at number 2.
Okay.
Because World's Fair was my number 1.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't. Wow. Yeah. Well,
it's a movie made for me.
It was a movie made for you,
but
I suppose.
Bones and all, who would have thought a young adult novel could be turned into such a wonderful horror film?
Well, I'll tell you what, that director and these two actors.
Luca knows what he's doing. And yeah. I forgive him for Suspiria.
Call Me by Your Name. You really need to watch it.
I might check it out.
You really need. It is so, I mean, Armie Hammer, I know, but like, it is so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Timothée Chalamet, I guess I'm officially a fan.
You know what this reminds me of? When I was in like late middle school, early high school, this will come as a shock to you, Byron. I was a total contrarian and I really hated the idea of going along with what everybody else thought. And sure. Everybody was batshit over Brad Pitt at that time.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck him. Like, he sucks. I don't care about Brad Pitt. And then my dad showed me 12 Monkeys. Oh.
I get it.
Actually, he's great.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what happened for me with Chalamet with this. Because I loved Call Me By Your Name.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't convert me on Chalamet. This converted me on Chalamet.
And Taylor Russell really stepped up from the Escape Room films.
She was.
Welcome to it.
Again, like, just really subtle acting for such a challenging, complex role.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just amazing.
Just a cool fucking film. Like, yep. I guess I don't care if we get eaten alive in the comments. Speaking of comments, though, Kelly, since it's a three-way tie.
Yeah, we need some input.
I would love to hear what people think out of the three Bs, which one of those is their favorite. And I guess I could also enter a dark horse fourth B.
No, don't enter a fourth B.
Which would be Byron. But there was plenty of films I didn't watch this year. We tried very hard to catch up.
We did try hard. I started to watch Crimes of the Future. People told me that was going to be amazing.
That was Cronenberg's thing.
Yeah, and I love Cronenberg. It was.
I think
you
might like his son more.
Yeah, I think so. It was over the top. It was just a little bit too like weird, esoteric, sci-fi, artsy. I could tell I wasn't going to make it. So
we did a lot of that last year too. Titane.
To me, it was twice as far in that direction
and
as Titane.
Possessor was Brandon Cronenberg.
I fucking loved Possessor.
And that had the same kind of tinge of sci-fi, but...
Yeah, but not nearly. I mean, this like was
I
just...
I didn't catch Crimes of the Future, so...
Watch the first 10 minutes, you'll know what I mean.
Brandon's upcoming film, though, Infinity Pool, trailers are out now.
Tell me about it.
You haven't seen the trailer?
No!
Holy shit, it's got your Skarsgård. It's got Mia Goth, clones, it's got murder, it's rich people. You're gonna love this thing.
Oh, wait, I read about this!
Yeah.
Wait, so hold on just a second. So is this more proletariat porn?
It's about people who can afford to make clones.
Yep.
After one person makes some big-time mistakes while on vacation. Brandon Cronenberg, I might have called him Christensen because, you know.
Brandon Christensen is another great
good
director.
Friend. One
I wonder
of
what
my,
he's doing this year.
Well, we're going to be talking, we'll talk about that later. I'm looking forward to that. But back to things we didn't catch. Terrifier 2, I didn't catch it. I heard it's got tons of gore, but I would be lying if I said that I didn't get annoyed by all the normies asking me what my opinion was because there's all those articles about people passing out and throwing
puking.
Up.
I'm listened
like,
to.
I don't need that.
I listened to a podcast episode from the Freakonomics Network tonight. Yeah. No Stupid Question. It was all about horror movies, and they were talking about how everyone said that there was this weird movie that everyone was puking in
Terrifier.
And passing out in, and Terrifier 2. I was like, yep, I didn't see it.
Were you slightly influenced by the mainstream media?
Like, I just don't. I was never even.
You're a gore hound.
I'm not a gore hound. I wasn't really inspired to see Terrifier 1, so I certainly wasn't going to be inspired to see Terrifier 2.
I like Terrifier 1. I think they did a pretty good job. And I think Jacob, his top 13 list is going to be up at Friday.com at this point.
Jacob.
I think it was pretty high on his list. You'll have to check it and see. You Won't Be Alone. I'm going to say get a better title. You Are Not My Mother. Same deal. Didn't want to see that.
Better titles, yeah.
Hatching, our writer Lona loved it, and you can read her review at Friday.com.
I do trust Lona.
Piggy, I think Jacob wrote a great review for that as well. Friday.com, go check that out. Mad God, did you catch that?
So Sam and I actually kept meaning to watch it. He's very interested in it, but we just haven't gotten around to watching it. That, and I know that it doesn't necessarily count as a horror, but Nitrum was the other one that he and I were really kind of like we're trying to get in the right mood to watch.
I don't know anything about that, but oh, Mad God looks, I don't like stop motion animation.
No, I don't think it's your, you don't know about Nitrum?
I don't think it
Caleb did. Landry Jones. It's the story of the Port Arthur Massacre.
Oh, I didn't know about that, but we did an episode about the Port Arthur Massacre.
We did. And it looks to be like kind of like we need to talk about Kevin, but okay. about like a real deal and with Caleb Landry.
Yeah. Go back to episode 148 if you want some of that.
That is another one that I'm working up to watching.
Cool. Werewolf by Night. It's too Disney.
It's not too Disney for me, but Byron ordered me to watch too many other movies, which he was right about, so I didn't get that one watched.
One we missed that I think we might be playing catch up with is Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead's Something in the Dirt.
Oh, fuck yes, for sure.
Of course, we got to
Where can we watch that, by the way,
too? Down now, I believe it's a VOD release.
Great. You know me in VOD.
Orphan, First Kill, lots of buzz. I haven't seen the first one.
Yeah, it was another one of those weird sequels that people were saying was better than the original.
It's kind of like Ouija 2 Origin of Evil, which
yeah.
people really enjoyed a lot more.
Yep.
Other things on our list, Kelly needs to watch A Wounded Fawn. I need to watch The Innocents, and I don't know if you finished that.
Byron, it's brutal.
Great. All right.
In fact, I should have mentioned it at the top of the show on like movies that nearly made it. It's just... It's not an enjoyable watch.
Okay.
It's a really powerful, well-done movie. It is not enjoyable.
Sure.
At least for me.
And I want to hear what you all think we missed out on, because there's plenty of films that came out last year with all the streaming services and the VODs and returning to theaters. Like, there's a lot of horror right now. So let us know what you think we missed, or even if there's something that wouldn't be in a top 13 kind of thing, but that is just worth watching. I'd be very curious to know. Worst of the year. That's always a bit of a bummer. So we're not going to do that here.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next episode of Behind the Screams, which Woo-hoo! Will be available at new URL, thefrightdaysociety.org.
Yeah.
Formerly cult.frightday.com. In the week after that, we'll be talking about our most anticipated films of 2023. Join up now. You get those episodes of Behind the Screams as well as 90 some others and so many bonus episodes of Captain Killer's Crypts, His Conspiracies, Byron Singer, The Writer's Room, Toast PM with Wine Kelly. Do we need to do one of
I
those?
I really need to do some Wine Kelly, but maybe let's wait until February.
Oh, I think that might, we've got a lot on our plates until.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thefrightdaysociety.org. Check it out. Upward and onward, 2023. Fright Day as a thing.
We do have a thing.
Let's talk about it. It's a podcast. We've got lots of ideas of things we're going to do this year, but it's also, it's going to involve a lot more video, or at least a little bit more video, more than you have right now. Casual Friday, twitch.tv/Friday. I've been streaming almost every Friday with my pals Dennis and Jared. We talk about strange news from the week, true crime, paranormal, extremism. But in 2023, we're upping the production. We've got 3 cameras, lights, a soundboard, call-in capabilities, dare I say better than Joe Rogan's rig. It's happening right here. Twice a month now. We're cutting back to just 2 times a month for Casual Friday, but I mean, we're doing the thing. It's
yeah, it is very fancy.
I showed you some of the test footage.
You guys have leveled
Dennis and
up.
We've rewired the whole thing. But if you want a taste of the Casual Friday stuff, I'll pitch the Patreon one more time. All the replays of old episodes are available now. That's Casual Friday. You can search it at thefrightdaysociety.com. Follow and subscribe to that right now, twitch.tv/Friday. You might notice that I didn't mention Kelly in that project. That doesn't mean you're not going to see her.
No, it doesn't. Because...
Friday Live.
You guys, this is a really big deal.
Once a month, we're going to be doing a live episode of Fright Day.
Yeah.
Which is going to be broadcast at the same place, twitch.tv/FrightDay.
Mm-hmm.
This means you get to see the kind of unfiltered way that we would do this show.
It's true.
It also is going to give you the possibility of interacting with us while we do it live. It's going to be us covering a film, but also at the end, it's going to be us talking to you, answering some questions, and... being on video?
Yes.
I'm excited about that. Also excited
I'm
going
to need to buy some wardrobe.
Do you need a makeup person?
No.
Okay. You can use the Fright Day card. I've spent a lot of money on
okay.
this.
Okay. Cool. So. Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair. But that's not the only thing that we're going to be doing live this year. We've talked a bit about it, but we're going to be doing some live investigation, some ghost hunting with these broadcast cameras behind us, these Wi-Fi broadcasts.
You guys.
Listeners are going to be able to switch between views of Kelly and I with cameras strapped to our dang heads. We're going to ghost hunt in some, you know, abandoned prisons that are rumored to have lots of spirits, all kinds of places. That's very exciting. The show in general, though, do you have any ideas of what we're going to be talking about this year?
I mean, I'm very excited to talk about, Byron doesn't want me to, but I really don't. I want to do crop circles. I realize it's visual, but it's so easy for people to pull up. And people, everybody has something in their head when you say crop circles. The stories behind them are phenomenal. I am very interested in talking more about some of the more woo-woo aspects of Church Universal Triumphant.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be jumping in with my Elizabeth Clare Prophet cut. And
I'm going to talk about St. Germain.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to do a cryptid this year.
You are going to do a cryptid. That'll and I'm proud fun. Of you for that. I'm probably going to do a more in-depth review of Chupacabra at some point because it's a cryptid that I think has some interesting context behind it that we haven't necessarily explored. There are a lot of Bigfoot developments that I feel like need a catch up at some point in the year, too.
I just wish that that whole world wasn't so co-opted by anti-vaxxers and QAnon lunatics.
I know, but we got to be the strong one in the crowd, Byron.
David Pilatus is officially off the deep end.
Has he not been for a year?
It's been a couple years, a slow slide. And I found a Sasquatch festival that had a large Q, capitalized Q in the name. So I reached out to the event coordinator to try to see what the hell is going on. They're dodging me pretty hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
yeah, well, they can fuck off then.
Well, I'll get to the bottom of it.
We need to start our own Sasquatch festival.
That's not a bad idea. Hick Manish in the Discord channel asked a question, said, can you give us any hints on big interviews that you'd like to do in 2023? Not David Pilates, but Kelly, I got a lead the other day on someone who worked at Hardee's with Nathaniel Bargiona, who's willing to talk with me.
God damn it. I thought you were going to tell me that you got George Knapp.
We'll reach out to George Knapp if you'd like. We do have some communication back and forth.
I would like to talk to George Knapp. And here's the thing. I also would like to talk to Jeremy Corbell. I am not kidding
you. I'll get Corbell on the
phone. I would really like to have a conversation with Corbell.
Okay.
I'm ready for it.
What about that guy who talked to the man in black? That story that we did.
The weird, you know, yeah. Sure.
We could do that. We could do a Marian Rudnick follow-up.
I wonder what Marian's up to these days.
And of course, we're going to talk to our buddies like Seth Breedlove.
Seth has some new stuff coming out that we definitely need to talk.
Well, I worked on his last film and it's really great.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy this one too.
Brandon has a new movie coming out.
Also, what I saw of that from my trip to Buffalo, really, really great. So,
yeah, you're so much fancier than me.
Well, just get rid of the kids. Ditch them.
I know. They're so cute, though. I know. They're worth most
having.
Of the time.
They're worth having around. I would love to hear what people want us to do.
Yeah.
Who they want us to talk to. More directors, more paranormal folks.
And also any topics that you would like me to cover, because some of the ones that I suggest Byron thinks may not be good, and it's always good to hear from you guys.
Literal hell is still on our list.
Yeah.
That's a heavy topic.
Yeah. That would be interesting for me.
Time for the most anticipated announcement.
You guys.
Camp Friday 3.
Yes!
February 10th through 11th. That's the weekend before Valentine's Day. So, of course, love it will be in the air.
Because we love all of you.
I want you right now. Visit frightday.rsvp right now to sign up. Attendance is going to be free this year. Counselor packages of some sort will be available soon. But yeah, right now, frightday.rsvp. Pull over your car. Pause your us. And go to frightday.rsvp. I'm excited to see you guys.
We want all of you there. And yeah, attendance is free, so there's no reason. Please join us.
We've got live Byron Serial Corners, Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies, Cinema Autopsy, Trivia, a table read of another film, special guests, so much more. I can't wait. That was almost a year ago, the last Camp Friday, and almost a year ago we did something else.
Resolutions?
Yes, we did, and we're doing that again this year.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, we're doing that now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, one of my resolutions is I'm going to work on pronunciation and preferred nomenclature.
That's great.
Because I've finally accepted that the alternative word for Romani is definitely not okay to use.
And just let everyone clap at home for you.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey.
It has been. And it's hard because I keep seeing like very mainstream, like new movies that are using it constantly. But you know what pushed me over the edge was a New York Times quiz. And on the new season of White Lotus, Tanya, the character played by Stifler's mom, definitely threw down that word a couple times.
And people were like, kind of.
It was very clear that that was like mocking that somebody would be so stupid as to use that word. I was like, okay.
An off-putting choice.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. It's time, Kelly. It's time. It's time.
Well, I'm proud of you.
So I'm working on those things.
As a producer, very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling Byron this the other day because I almost stopped watching The Innocents because there's a horrific animal death very early on in the movie.
Are you going to grow up this fucking year?
I'm going to grow up with regard
to
animal deaths and toughing it out just like I did with Innocents. And I'm not going to change at all with the children deaths part.
I think that's fair, but you can only have one.
I only get one. I only get one.
I need to figure out what my one is.
More date night horror nights with Sam.
That's cute.
Yeah.
So hopefully people make more date night horror films.
Well, I mean, luckily for Sam.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I'll watch any horror movie for a date night.
Speaking of watching horror films.
Yes.
My resolution. My sole resolution this year.
Your sole resolution.
In the past, it was old and it was foreign and what else? What else have I done over the 8 to 9 years?
You've done specifically black and white. I think you've done 80s before.
Oh, that didn't work. None of these worked.
None of those worked.
None of these worked.
You're not a real resolution.
So this
dude.
Year I'm backing up. Okay. I do a lot of resolutions. Just not.
Not for these.
I guess not.
Yeah.
So I'm backing up. I'm stepping back. My resolution this year is to watch horror films.
Wow, Byron.
Over the past few weeks.
Groundbreaking.
I'm sorry. This is really sad, but the past few years, it's been really hard to be as excited about horror. I don't know what it is. It could have been general burnout. It could have been the way the world is. It could have been...
I mean, the world's bad.
My other interests, like I have a lot on my plate. I'm doing a handful of things that I wasn't doing.
A handful.
Lots of other projects I'm juggling. But the past few weeks in catching up with horror, looking at
been
my kind of
fun.
Inbox, it's been great.
It's been kind of fun.
I'm
huh?
having a good time with this again. Good. So I'm just going to try to stick with it. I'm going to try to keep up on
I like that.
New release horror films.
That's pretty good.
And keep my fingers on the pulse. So that's what I'm doing. Will I be successful? Who knows?
You will. You will watch horror this year.
Well,
I have no doubt.
I know one person that would know.
Me?
No. Baba Vanga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Byron, this may come as a shock to you, but I've got predictions from far more than just Baba.
You wouldn't leave us with just Baba.
No, I wouldn't leave you with just Baba. And in fact, what we're going to talk about first here is there was a really fun thing that came out recently. It kind of went viral. There was this instructor at the University of Calgary, fellow by the name of Paul Ferry, and he posted a bunch of fun predictions from newspaper articles in 1923 about what would be happening by 2023.
Oh, this is a century.
Yeah, so I'm gonna read a couple of those. War of AD 2023. Professor forecasts wireless wonders. How shall we fight in AD 2023 is the subject of a contribution by Professor A.M. Lowe to the September 19th century and after. The professor dwells on latest scientific war terrors and refers to an invention of his own, jets of water highly charged with electricity, which will render cavalry obsolete.
Come on. Wait, what?
The war of 2023, he proceeds, will naturally be a wireless war, for there is no end to the possibilities of this wonderful force. Wireless telephony, sight, heat, power, and writing may all play important parts. Professor Lowe states that at the present time he can, by an expenditure of about 3 horsepower, destroy a wire at a distance of more than a yard without any connection at all. Professor Lowe concludes that it is quite possible that when civilization has advanced another century, mental telepathy will exist in embryo and will form a very useful method of communication.
You just said a lot. Can we break this down a bit?
Yeah, so...
Water and electricity to do what?
Yeah, basically he was saying that there was going to be this water-charged weapon that
a super soaker.
Basically, I think he was talking about a super soaker.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Super Soaker 5000. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And that we would also be telepathic. So,
but what's the super soaker? It ruins electronics? Is that...
It can destroy anything. roughly anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's actually pretty interesting.
In telepathy.
Though. Yes.
Super telepathy. Soldiers. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That could be happening.
This one's a little bit weirder.
EMPs, though. Real quick, like...
Oh, EMPs are fun.
That's a real thing. And then, like, all the radar blocking that we have.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
That is not
necessarily water-based.
But... No, but I think that we're two separate things.
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
By 2023, this is a new one, by the way. This is a new prediction. Okay, separate article. By 2023, there will be no mail between New York and San Francisco. Pittsburgh and London concerns will record on talking films orders from merchants in Peking. And 1,000-mile-an-hour freighters will make deliveries of goods before sunset. Watch-size radio telephones... will keep everybody in communication with the ends of the earth.
Do you ever use your watch to talk to anyone?
I don't know, because I have a Fitbit and so I can't talk through it, but I do get texts on it and I use that a lot.
Well, sometimes I'll answer on my watch and it is the worst still. It's not quite
there
yet.
It's not good.
No, it's just not loud enough.
That makes sense. Byron, what is the population of the U.S. right now?
Whatever, 300 and some million?
335. Okay, so this is actually pretty damn good. The population, what was it in 1923?
Rewinding. I don't have 1923.
Oh my gosh, it was.
But I have 1920.
It was just over.
100.
Whoa!
Sort of tripled.
Tripled, that's pretty weird. Okay, the population of the United States in the year 2023 will probably be 300 million.
Well, I'm sure that's not. That's scientific. That's watching growth.
So much has changed about growth, though, because so much of our population has to do with elimination of different diseases that certainly weren't eliminated in the 1920s.
But I'm sure they had data to look at that.
I mean, prophetically, maybe with Baba, but this will imply an immense progress in the drainage of our lowlands in the irrigation of arid lands.
That's just Los Angeles, baby.
This is probably the closest one, Byron. I left it for last. In reading a forecast of 2023, when many varieties of aircraft are flying through the heavens, we do not begin the day by reading the world's news, but by listening to it, for the newspaper has gone out of business.
Yikes.
That's pretty creepy, huh?
I if you sit down and think about this stuff logically, I guess it makes sense.
I don't know. Think about back then, though. Like, the idea of internet... telephones that work the way they do,
but they
even
radio,
television,
right? Like,
yeah, but that's just, I mean,
I would have never anticipated people making daily podcasts for news, though.
Time for Baba.
It's Baba time.
All right, so this was,
do you want to say who Baba is real
yeah
quick?
I was gonna give just a real quick summary.
This is our probably fourth or fifth time talking about Baba Vanga.
Yeah, she comes up pretty frequently this time of year. She lived in Bulgaria.
Blind as a fucking bat.
Yep, and she started making predictions in World War II through her death in 1996.
She's a mystic.
She apparently never wrote her predictions down, though, so there's very little to prove that what comes out every year is more than just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's really fun, so we're going to do it. Apparently, one of her scariest predictions... for 2023 has to do with a solar storm.
Did she do 9/11 though?
She did supposedly predict 9/11.
Okay.
Yep.
Solar storm.
Yeah. So the solar storm means it could be solar flares, coronal mass ejections, which are eruptions of plasma that can actually reach the earth. They're
but
so
but
huge.
What does it do?
Oh, that's a great question. They can cause geomagnetic storms that could fry power grids and cause a whole bunch of chaos. The last time a big one happened that was recorded was in 1859. It was called the Carrington Event of 1859, which was named after a British astronomer. And at that point, it knocked out telegraphs and caused fires and electric shocks. But because so much more of our world now is based on electrical-related things, mm-hmm. it would be far worse. Here's the thing that's weird, though. I looked into it a bit. NOAA, National Oceanic...
Era?
Administration, yeah, thing, and NASA both said so. There are different solar cycles.
Yeah.
So like we're maximum activity, minimum activity. We're apparently in the 25th solar cycle right now. It's supposed to max out between 2023 and 2026. So I mean that would make sense.
Okay.
Be careful. Get your generators, folks.
What did we talk about her saying that the 45th president would be the country's last commander-in-chief.
Oh, we may have said that last year.
In a favor of the country. What does that mean?
She thought that our orbit might shift this year.
Is that where perhaps the poles because reverse?
Of, no, just like a slight change in the orbit caused by an asteroid impact.
Okay.
The thing is, even a teeny tiny shift would be a pretty big deal. They think that that is what created the Paleocene, Eocene thermal maximum, which was the global warming that happened 56 million years ago and killed a ton of life on the planet.
Sure. Yeah. When you rotate even just a little bit, it changes, I mean, changes the seasons.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because our orbit is shaped like an oval, obviously not a perfect circle.
Of course.
So that's a little bit freaky to think about. Let's shift gears a little bit to good old Nostradamus.
Oh, classic.
I also realized, I don't know that we've ever talked much about who the hell he is. He was a French astrologer 450 years ago and published a book of predictions people have been talking about ever since. It's been constantly in production. This guy was, you know, this guy knew how to market, clearly. Supposedly, he predicted everything from Hitler to the JFK assassination to 9/11. But here's a little bit more about when he wrote and something fascinating that I didn't know, at least, Byron. According to The Guardian, he wrote all of his prophecies over a 7-year period. There were 942 and they were all in quatrain form. He dictated them.
What's quatrain form?
Four line form. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
So like a poem?
I think, isn't that what quatrain form is?
I don't know. I mean, quad is four.
I thought that it's used typically for poetry and like, so he dictated these, all of them, while he was high on
toad?
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. Okay.
Did you know?
Yeah, I did.
You knew if you consumed enough nutmeg, it'll make you hallucinate?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those moral panic kind of things that like parents know that you can do that, but it's very difficult. Like they're worried that
it's also a poison if you eat too much of it, isn't it?
But they're worried that their kids are going to try to do it. But it's,
I feel like if you're going to hallucinate on nutmeg, like whatevs, dude.
It's a lot of nutmeg.
How much nutmeg do you need to take to hallucinate? My God.
I don't know, but keep going.
So some people of his time said that he was just a crazy old dude.
Okay.
And, hold on, let me see this.
Oh, I'm just reading it. Keep going. I'll let you know.
One publication in 1558 said he was a brainless and lunatic idiot who is shouting nonsense and publishing his prognostications and fantasies on the streets. But obviously other people disagreed because he's remained.
50 grams of nutmeg? And they said something like 10 nutmeg nuts. 10 grams.
50 grams. I mean, when you think about how much nutmeg it takes to flavor something with nutmeg, it's like a true pinch.
So two teaspoons is 10 grams, but that's mild. That's dizziness, confusion, grogginess, and dry mouth.
Okay, so you would need 10 teaspoons
of nutmeg.
In order to legit... I mean,
you've seen videos on the internet of people doing cinnamon challenge. Very similar. It's a difficult thing to get down.
Hold on.
If you make it into a milkshake.
Nutmeg poisoning.
Yeah.
How much do you have to take to be poisoned?
Well, this is all called nutmeg intoxication. And intoxication is the same kind of thing as poisoning. When you get drunk, you're poisoning yourself.
Well, thanks.
Sorry. Fucking straight edge Byron stepping in for a second.
Yeah, no joke. All right.
Apologies. Don't mean to shame you.
So clearly, a lot of people thought that he was onto something. And in fact, he had a really big year last year, Byron, because he supposedly predicted the death of the queen.
Oh my, come on.
Now, we're going to get back to that in a second. Hold on. Most people say that his predictions don't have specific dates, but there's a guy who wrote a book in 2006.
Yeah.
And he said that his quatrains are actually indexed in date form. So quatrain 10/22, here's what it says. Because they disapprove of his divorce, a man who later they considered untrustworthy, the people will force out the king of the islands.
King of the islands.
A man will replace him who never expected to be king. So the idea is, this is talking about King Charles, and that this year King Charles is going to get pushed out because people, I don't know why, but he's the one that got divorced, right?
Yeah.
And so people are going to push him out and he's going to be replaced, which now people are saying that means that it's going to be Prince Harry who takes over because he's the one who never thought he was going to be king. William, that wouldn't be unexpected.
Is this like a Dan Brown book? What the fuck is going on
here? I don't know. It
sounds
a little bit like this. Yeah. But we'll see. So if this year Charles gets the boot and Harry is in, then we know
Nostradamus
knew his shit. Yeah.
Loves nutmeg. Big fan.
Big fan of the nutmeg.
He loves a PSL.
Yeah.
Sky, if you could just up the S.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, Byron, maybe I should, for our next treat night, I should make you,
Do PSLs,
have a nutmeg milkshake.
PSLs and LSD and see which one works better.
I'm not doing LSD.
Well, I'm not doing PSL overdose.
What's PSL?
Pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, yeah. No, we're the just nutmeg. Part. We're just doing the nutmeg
just,
part.
Just the
so
spice.
So it's not a PSL.
Well.
It's just a nutmeg shake. I'm going to make you a nutmeg shake.
Just extra S.
Fuck. I bet you could, I bet we could get you crazy on like one teaspoon.
I don't want to do that.
All right. So my predictions for this year, Byron, I had a whole list, but most of them were political and I knew you were going to get mad at me.
Yeah,
so
cut those.
I'm going to cut those and I'm mostly going to, I mean, these are somewhat political, but they aren't super political.
Okay.
They're like political light.
Matt Gaetz turns into a werewolf.
I do predict that McCarthy's not going to last the full term. Something's going to happen.
Speaker of the House?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
All right.
The Ukrainian war, I think, is going to continue.
Really? You don't think that really did shit his pants when he slipped down those stairs?
No, I think he probably did.
Do you think he's got colon cancer?
I mean, if he does, then they're just going to build a robot of him.
You think?
Who's going to march around.
It's pretty obvious he's got some sort of cancer or Parkinson's or something, according to the, you know,
yeah, I still don't. Keep in mind, though, he's got enough crazy people around him. They'll keep the war going whether he dips or not.
Well, okay.
I think we're going to come close, but not quite hit the 1.5 degrees Celsius danger mark.
You think we're turning a corner? Are we going back?
No,
down?
No. I think like this year we're going to.
You think we're up still?
Yeah,
we're not
yeah,
just
we're
slowing down.
Although I did listen to a really interesting podcast about like where energy should be focused to try and change things. It was pretty interesting.
To the point. It's not all about cutting energy. It's about how we use it.
Well, and it's about not letting people build houses in places that are obviously going to be underwater.
Good point.
Like that's fucking stupid.
Well, it's going to be
fucking DeSantis, stop letting people stop subsidizing building on the beaches that are literally
Isn't
going to be underwater.
Something about don't build a house on sand.
Fucking stupid.
Well, the saddest is a lot of those condos, like the one that came down a year or two ago. It killed a bunch of
totally
people.
Horrible and sad.
Yeah.
Which is why we should not even be allowing building in those areas, let alone subsidizing building.
Multi-story houseboats.
Would be a better idea.
Let's do it.
It would be a better idea.
Great.
Honestly, it would be. Okay. The year is going to end with Mercury retrograde just the way it began. By the way, Byron, we are in.
I know we're deep in.
We're
and
deep.
It's been okay.
I mean, it hasn't been okay. You should see what's going on. It's terrible. It hits us with Christmas next year, though, which is going to be really rough for me.
We'll be fine.
I'm worried.
We're okay.
I'm worried. But my last personal prediction is that this is going to be an even better year for horror than last year.
What's your...
And that we actually, so the documents that just came out about JFK, we're going to have to do a behind the screens about
it. Before we jump away from the horror thing, what's your prediction of subgenre?
I think it's still continuing proletariat porn and gaslighting vindication.
I'd love some found footage. So I'm going to root for that. I didn't get the Year of the Witches. We didn't get our vampires.
Oh, we've got the new Nick Cage vampire movie that's coming out.
I think Renfield looks very interesting.
Looks hilarious.
I don't know about that.
Did you see The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
I was at the world premiere with Nick Cage himself.
It was so fucking funny.
It was good.
It was so fucking funny.
What were you saying, though?
The JFK stuff that just came out, there's some stuff in it. There really isn't anything too much, but I do think that this year we're going to get at least a bit of important info.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's going to happen. And I also think that there is going to be another release of UAP data that is on par with the original New York Times Tic Tac stuff.
State of conspiracy theory. How you feel?
Well,
are we entering a safer zone to be critical?
No. Conspiracy theory has been completely commandeered by the Q fucks. So, like,
and
basically,
you mean that as a broader thing?
Like, yeah,
do you
I mean,
lump in anti-vax. And, anti-government militia.
Yeah,
all of it is kind of the same.
Yeah, basically, it's like taking the idea that you need to do research before you blindly believe something and turning it into blindly believing another stupid person counts as research.
Malinformation is now an element that we need to consider.
Right. I think truth is going to continue to become less and less accepted.
I think it's going to be more difficult to determine for a lot of people.
Yep. And I think that we're going to need to hold firm, Byron.
I don't want to not talk about conspiracy. I would actually like to talk about it more. For years, we've threatened to do a Lyme disease
Oh, I'd love to do a Lyme disease
I'd love to
one.
Dig into that. That's like a fun conspiracy theory. Maybe an internal lab leak that doesn't involve potential world war, you know?
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
That's cool. Let's talk about
that. That'd be good. We can talk about
that. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year for UFOs, UAPs.
It's going to be great
for
everything.
It's going to be really good. And it's going to be good for horror. It's not going to be good for Mercury. Everybody just be careful. Communicate really clearly.
It's the same all the time.
Speak slowly and enunciate.
Okay, great. Let's end on the it's going to be a good year part.
It's going to be a great year, friends.
As we jump into this year. And until the next episode, Kelly, where are you going
to
be?
Well, you know, I really am not hanging out on Twitter much anymore other than to watch bad lip syncing. I'm going to be on Instagram a bit, and you can always email me. I'm always on email. Kelly@Frightday.com. We haven't done a True Tales of Terror in a long time. And
we have a great one lined up. We moved it back. It was going to be a holiday season one, but maybe we'll record it while you're in Disneyland.
That would be great.
And when you get back.
World! How many fucking years do I have to go to Disney World? It's Disney World! World!
Okay. Calm down. Or else you don't get to go. Okay. We'll turn this car around. Okay. And when you get back, we got to do our Disney three-parter. I really want to tear that place apart.
Can we not tear it apart?
Just a little bit. You'll be sick of it by the time you leave.
No, I won't.
Please.
I won't.
I've never gotten sick of it.
You know what we could do?
What?
Is that the guy that just got booted, we should do like an investigation into him. I bet he was a bad dude.
Booted?
Yeah.
He was fine. He was a good guy.
No, he wasn't.
The Bob?
No, Bob's back.
I know. The other guy was a Bob too. And he was fine.
No, the other guy was bad.
He was fine.
No, he was bad.
He was not bad.
He fucked my favorite place up.
Let's not talk about it.
Threw a lot of F-bombs tonight.
With
will you bleep some of those?
No, absolutely
please
not.
A few of them. Just a few.
Maybe. I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter and Instagram. Byron@Frightday.com is my email address. Once again, Frightday.RSVP. Sign up now for Camp Frightday. Leave some notes for what content you want to see there. Also consider joining the Fright Day Society at thefrightdaysociety.org. But until next week, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And stay scared.
Listening to an Audio Wool original produced by Byron McCoy, theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.